This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I will be your host for the first hour. In the first hour, I am focusing the show on two of some of my favorite guests that I have on, the first being Peter Buchvar. He is the Chief Investment Officer over at Bleakley Advisory Group, also writes a fantastic website called The Book Report, where I will post a link in the weekend show posting. I visit that site every day where Peter breaks down what's going on in terms of central banks, what's going on in terms of data, and also interesting market moves from around the world. And Peter, what I first want to talk about is an update from the central banks in general. We have the Fed, who will be hiking next week, and most likely hiking in either December or early on in 2019. I honestly don't even think there's a big difference there. The fact of the matter is they are continuing down their hawkish stance, but we are also starting to see movements by other central banks around the world turning slightly more hawkish. Can you give us your updated comments on the environment we're seeing with the central banks, please?
Well, interestingly, in Japan, they continue their what was originally subtle taper into more of a stealth taper, and the yields just this week spiked. As of Friday, the 40-year JGB yield, and I like to look at 40 years out because it's least affected and influenced by yield curve control, which goes out 10 years. And that rate closed at 105, up 5 basis points Friday, which is a rather sharp move. And you have to go back to November 2017, the last time the rate was this high. We're about a week and a half from the ECB cutting QE, again, by 50% to a negligible amount of 15 billion euros a month, which will then end 3 months later. So if you add up what the Fed is taking out and add in the ECB and what the Bank of Japan is doing, the net liquidity flow goes to zero. That's the first time in many, many years. And this was running at 100 billion a month in the fourth quarter of last year. So just another step in the removal of accommodation that up until now the markets have digested, but we're beginning to see some indigestion, as I mentioned, in Japanese bonds. German 10-year yield is up almost every day for the past 3 weeks. And, of course, the U.S. 10-year at 308 is just 3 basis points from its high of the year. And if we break above 311, you got to go back to 2011, I believe it is, the last time that we saw a 10-year yield that high. That's now showing up in higher mortgage rates. That's put us pretty much a pretty sharp slowdown in the pace of housing transactions. We've seen already a top in the level of auto sales. So this rise in interest rates is beginning to matter, and something that people should not be ignoring again, because this will accelerate further into next year, where the Fed's going to be removing $600 billion through quantitative tightening, will likely continue to raise rates, and the ECB is going to attempt at some point next year getting out of negative interest rates, and still $9 to $10 trillion of, or maybe it's closer to $9-10 trillion of negative yielding securities. This could be just the beginning in what I see as a global bond market sell-off.
So, Peter, in all fairness, it's something that you were even talking about, or you and I were talking about last year at the New Orleans Investment Conference, is the trend of higher rates, a lot thanks to, again, central banks slowly stepping away from the market. Do you think that there's the possibility, at least in the U.S., of seeing rates scream higher, because it kind of has been this grind higher in the U.S., almost giving international markets time to catch up with some of their rates also moving up, but in a more aggressive pace. Do you think that all of a sudden kind of that coil snaps and the rates in the U.S. scream higher?
It's a good question. It's tough to say. I think we really have to see, well, we're already beginning to see somewhat of a spike, at least in long-term Japanese yields. The 10 years out will be still subject to this yield curve control. But yeah, there's the potential for spikes in European yields. I mean, a couple of years ago, the German 10-year Bund yield went from 6 basis points to a full 1% in a 2-month time frame. So I would not be surprised if the German 10-year, which is that 47, 48 basis points, goes to 1% by the end of the fourth quarter as the ECB is cutting, as I mentioned, QE, and then ending it by the end of the year. Now, it's probably unlikely, probably more of a 2019 event, but you get kind of sharp moves in overseas bonds, it could lead to something that's rather sharp here. But either way, whether it's a slow grind or it's a sharp move, the trend is still higher, and I do expect the 10-year yield in the U.S. to break above 3.11. And you look at a chart, and 3.25 up to 3.75 is very doable over the next 12 months. And I don't think that is something that is on people's radar screens. Everyone just assumes, oh, well, it's happening because the U.S. economy is good. Well, it's happening for a variety of reasons, and in fact, you continue to get that rise in interest rates, and that will be a potentially large growth dampener as we are in a very interest rate credit dependent economy.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Now we talk more about a credit cycle rather than a business cycle for markets, and that's around the world. One other thing that I think is very important to pay close attention to is what the Fed considers its neutral rate, because that's the time when, more likely than not, we see the Fed pause in terms of rate hikes. Do you believe what the Fed's been saying, around 3-3.5% is where their neutral rate is, or do you think that's more of a moving target?
Well, I'll start by saying the neutral rate is a made-up number. It is a number that gets spit out of the econometric model. No one knows what neutral rate is. They're basically saying, well, it's about 100 basis points above the rate of inflation, so if they have inflation at 2, they should have the Fed funds at 3. But then, of course, if inflation goes to 2.5, well, then that neutral rate, so-called neutral rate, goes to maybe 3.5. Either way, I think they want at least 3% and then take all the time out and then play it by ear from there. And whether they do 4 this year, 2 next year, or 3 this year, 3 next year, ideally, assuming nothing else breaks, which typically does happen in rate hikes, they do want to get to 3% and then want to continue to shrink the balance sheet.
Now, what about the potential of an inverted yield curve here? We've heard some Fed presidents come out and say they don't care if the yield curve inverts. They don't think that that is actually a great sign of predicting a recession. In all fairness, we are getting to a flatter and flatter yield curve. It looks like it should invert. Do you believe when some Fed presidents actually say that they don't mind if the yield curve inverts because of what they're doing?
Well, yeah. First of all, I don't think we should ever ignore the yield curve, but that they're saying that they are willing to tells me that they're going to make the same mistake as they made 10 out of the last 13 rate hike cycles since World War II, is tighten us into a recession, which is what they typically do. So people should just take what they say when they say that word, is that they're going to keep on hiking, irrespective of the yield curve. I think it potentially does not invert because, as I mentioned, I'm expecting long-term interest rates to continue higher in Japan and Europe, which will be a natural lift to longer-term U.S. rates. So I don't expect an inversion for good reason. I expect it for not good reason. Good reason would be, okay, we get a steepening, and that's because the economy remains very robust. I'm thinking it's more because, again, what goes on in overseas bond markets that we are very correlated to.
All right, Peter, we are going to wrap up the first segment here, but I am having you back on next segment, and we are going to be chatting more about the U.S. equity markets, also about the U.S. dollar and the precious metals. A lot to cover in the next segment, so everybody be sure to stick around, and Peter and I will be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Times are changing. The circus of politics, healthcare's low standards and high prices, and let's not forget food quality. What to do? Arm yourself with Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. In a world of chemical imbalance and poor air and water quality, it's time you make a move. Log on to GetTheTea.com and stock up on organic non-GMO supplements. Don't forget the tea. Cleansing your body never felt so good. And we have a brand new tea called Takedown Tea, which helps support healthy glucose. All natural body support so you can be at your best, naturally. All you have to do is log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. We're not a fad that comes and goes. We are the real deal. Join us and armor up. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes. And the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts. Preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise at gcnlive.com.
Your week
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to chat with Peter Buchbart, the Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Advisory Group. And Peter, what I want to talk about now is the impact on U.S. equity markets, because one of the major stories that I've been watching and that you've been writing about, too, is the disconnect between U.S. markets, international markets, and even more specifically, Asian markets. Usually these are fairly well correlated, but over the last few months, there's been a huge divergence here. Is this due to central bank policy, or is there more going on?
Well, the U.S., there's this belief that the economy is bulletproof, that the cut in taxes and regulatory relief makes us immune to everything, everything including tariffs and slowdown in global growth and rise in interest rates. And for now, that's what people think, and they're riding the wave of good earnings. And but I think the analysis needs to go a bit deeper than that. You can't have a continuation of strong U.S. Growth, particularly on the earnings side, when a large part of the world is slowing down. Since 40% of S&P revenues is sourced overseas. Already seeing slowing, as I mentioned, in housing. We're seeing it in autos. That should not be ignored because it has a large impact on growth. This rise in interest rates is happening on top of a very highly levered U.S. corporate sector. So we should not believe that we're immune and decoupled from what goes on in the rest of the world. We should not believe that we're immune to a rise in interest rates, both on the short end via the Fed and market interest rates. So for now, we're sort of thinking that, and the market's betting on a Fed soft landing, but their track record with that is pretty poor. So I don't think it's a good bet.
Yeah, and one thing to consider, too, about that U.S. market strength is it's coming with fewer and fewer stocks moving up. It's something that I'm going to talk about in the next segment with Jesse Felder. Let's also talk about the impacts on the currency markets. The U.S. dollar has been having a pretty good year this year. It's come back a little bit in the last about month and a half. But compared to last year, when the dollar was continuing to fall, even when the Fed was hiking rates, it seems as though the dollar is showing some strength, maybe because the Fed is continuing down this rate hike path or because of more weakness around the world. What's your take on the dollar and the factors at play here? And if you believe the dollar is about to break down or break up or just stay in this range?
Well, the dollar strength has really just been against emerging markets. I mean, the amazing thing about the dollar, if you look at the Euro Heavy Dollar Index, so looking at the dollar versus more of the developed countries, the Fed initiated their first rate hike after 7 years of a zero in mid-December 2015. The dollar index was 98. So here we are a week away from taking the Fed funds rate to two and a quarter. And the dollar index is closer to 94. So when you hear, oh, the Fed's raising rates, that's good for the dollar, something's wrong with the dollar, based on what I just said. And whether it's worries about tariffs, whether it's worried about slowing debts and deficits, something is structurally wrong with the dollar. And again, I'm talking about the dollar index and developed currencies rather than what's obviously gone on with emerging markets. So to me, that's a very interesting tell. I don't get the bull case, to be honest, for the dollar against big currencies. On paper, it makes sense. The Fed is, as I said, is far ahead of other central banks in tightening, but that's really done nothing to help the dollar.
I know. That's what I find so interesting, is that for as hawkish as the Fed has been, the dollar is down from when they started this hawkish path. So something to consider. Let's wrap it up now with a couple comments on the precious metals. I know you follow gold and silver quite closely as well. It's been a rough summer, and even just this last week when it looked like gold was slowly starting to build some momentum to the upside, we had the end of the week where that pretty much took all those gains away. What do you have to say about the weakness in the precious metals and actually metals in general?
Well, it certainly has weakened over the past month when people saw the dollar strength against EM. So it was this contra dollar trade, even though it was, again, mostly against EM. And then also we've seen this, you know, pretty sharp rise in real rates, which gold is definitely correlated to. So real rates, you look at 5 years out, at the beginning of the year, it was 30 basis points. Now we're north of 90 basis points. So I think that's another headwind for gold. And then you have the pile on the short side with the net speculative short position being at, about almost 20-year highs. Now, that's a great contrarian indicator, and I think it's a great setup for an eventual rally in gold, particularly with the poor performance of the U.S. dollar. But trying to figure out when that catalyst and trigger will occur has been maddening. I do think that we're trying to dig in here around 1,200. I think we hold at 1,200, give or take, but it's certainly been maddening to watch.
Yes, it absolutely has been. Do you think that really all we're waiting for is for central banks to maybe switch course again, turn away from this more hawkish stance, or for a more severe market correction? Do you buy into any of those factors as a main driver to turn the case more bullish for the metals?
Well, ironically, I think the deeper we get into Fed tightening, the more gold can actually bounce, because the deeper you get into tightening, the deeper you get into an economic accident, which then leads to an eventual ending of the tightening. And you can only imagine when that happens and what's going to happen to the dollar, and imagine when the Fed starts then cutting interest rates and the dollar really gets hammered, and that's when gold really gets lit to the upside. So I know it's, again, initially counterintuitive, but we December 2015, I'm convinced, was the worst in price in gold. It's just the recovery from them, obviously being in fits and starts, particularly this year, has been very frustrating. But I still think that it's a place to be. I still expect higher prices in coming years. It's just going to obviously take more time than any of us wished or hoped.
It absolutely will, and yeah, maybe it still will take a little bit more time. At least that's what we're thinking on our site. And just as a comment, you saying that maybe that end of 2015 is the worst it's going to get. What do you say about the majors that are selling back down to those levels, and even Gold Corp, which is temporarily right below where it was at that low level? The majors continue to struggle, and we continue to hear more and more of people just turning away from the sector.
Yeah, it's until you get a sustained increase in the price of gold and silver, unfortunately, these stocks have been left for dead. The upside is obviously large when the underlying price of the metals get going, but it's just obviously reflective of the complete and utter lack of interest and apathy towards the space.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Well, Peter, we will wrap it up there. Great chatting with you. I always enjoy spending some time with you on this show, and also when we get to see each other at the New Orleans Investment Conference. I am looking forward to that again this year, happening at the very beginning of November. In the meantime, anyone who wants to follow along with what Peter is saying and thinking, you have to visit the Book Report. So it's B-O-O-C-K. Report.com. I will again post a link to that. That's where Peter breaks down on a daily basis some of the important data points that you should be paying attention to. Peter, I appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed my somewhat lengthy conversation with Peter Buchvar. I really think he provides some level-headed analysis and some very data-focused analysis on what we're seeing, not just in the U.S., but around the world. Another guest that I know you all enjoy and I enjoy chatting with is Jesse Felder, founder and editor of The Felder Report. And I'm going to spend a couple segments with Jesse here, again, talking about some U.S. markets, but also some data points that I think we all need to be very aware of. If anyone wants to check out Jesse's website, just click the link within the weekend show posting. I am a subscriber, and I visit it on a pretty much daily basis. Jesse, let's start off by recapping a recent article that you wrote that discussed historic market divergence within the U.S. equity markets, talking about some Hindenburg omens that have been popping up at really a historical rate. First, though, for anyone who doesn't know what a Hindenburg omen is, please can you explain that to our audience?
Yeah, the Hindenburg omen was essentially invented or promoted by Jim Miekka, who was a newsletter writer who's actually a very interesting guy. But essentially, there's three simple components to this. One is the NYSE index has to have a positive 50-day rate of change. So it has to be positive over the last 50 days. Then you have to have the number of 52-week highs and lows both greater than a certain threshold. And I think he proposed 2.8% of all components within those indexes. But a lot of people just use 2.5% today. And essentially what this is trying to look for is times when there's widening dispersion at the highs. So the stock market has been doing well, but there's actually still a lot of stocks that are doing very poorly, that there's not this uniform breadth that would be the sign of a strong market. Yeah, and so the Hindenburg omen is, you know, it's kind of been made fun of. You know, there were a couple triggered before the 87 crash, and a lot of people have, you know, tried to use this. Mieka tried to use this as a crash indicator that when you had, you know, a Hindenburg omen, it suggested the stock market was going to crash. Now, it's not been very useful in that respect at all. But when you've seen these clusters of omens, it's been extremely useful.
Now, these clusters are something that you pointed out in that article, and again, I said they were at historic levels. Some of the data that you pointed out was the NYSE, 11 days in a row, we saw a Hindenburg omen, which is the most in at least 40 years, and you combine the NYSE and the NASDAQ over the past month, I think we're in around 17 of these moments, which is mind-boggling, isn't it? So again, one is not a timing indicator and does not really tell anything, but when you see this many happening in such a short period of time, it doesn't mean the market's going to crash tomorrow, but it definitely needs all investors, I think, to take a step back. Can you share how you evaluate when we have seen a historic level of these happening?
Yeah, you know, you're right. Over the past month, we've seen 17 Hindenburg omens trigger on the NYSE and the NASDAQ. And, you know, we saw back in November of, you know, last year, late November, was the first time I really wrote about this in this these clusters, because we've had 14 back then. And that was a couple months prior to the big, you know, late January, February sell-off. You know, but prior to that, we had 14 in November of 2007 and July of 2007. Those two periods, July and November of 2007, we both saw 14 triggered, in those in 1 month periods. And then you have to go back to December of 1999, where we saw 15 triggered. And those were all, you know, right around major market tops. And so this is the usefulness of this indicator, is that it, I think it demonstrates a high probability of a topping process. And, you know, what's so interesting to me is we've never seen 11 triggered, you know, 11 days in a row triggered before. And we've never seen 17 in 1 month. In fact, I think today it actually makes 18. I think the New York Stock Exchange triggered another one today. So, you know, the most we've ever seen before in a month is 15, and we're at 18 currently. So, it's a pretty strong warning signal.
Yeah, it really just goes to show how few stocks are leading this market higher. And remember, we're at all-time highs again. So everybody who just looks at the actual chart for the broad averages, you don't really get that overall picture. But one thing that I think kind of ties in here, Jesse, and I want your thoughts on this, is the discrepancy we're seeing between U.S. markets and markets around the world, most notably Asian markets. It's been outlined a number of times that over the last couple of months, U.S. markets continued to move up. Asian markets have really gotten hit hard. Usually these markets are pretty positively correlated. Do you draw any conclusions here, tying in with the Hindenburg omens and then also this disconnect in global markets?
Yeah, it is a very strange disconnect. I think it's actually one of the widest, if not the widest, dispersions between performance of our markets and those overseas that we've ever seen, especially in today's, you know, globalized world. I really don't know what to attribute it to, except to, you know, for people, you know, to look at the strength in the dollar this year, and you know, that's and the disparity in interest rates. You know, our interest rates are a lot more positive nominally and in real terms than anywhere else around the world, and so our markets have been very attractive. I think that's also what's going on in our junk bond market. You know, you have the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan just buying up everything that has any kind of a, you know, positive yield in their countries, and that just forces Japanese and European investors to scramble for positive yields here. And so I think that's probably what's going on with that disparity. Now, the question is, you know, can it continue? Will investors continue to be scrambling for U.S. assets going forward?
I know. That's what everybody is kind of wondering. But quite frankly, with some of the data that's come out of the U.S., there's no doubt that money has continued to flow into U.S. equities and also the U.S. dollar, too. And that's another thing that I want to talk about is this U.S. dollar continuing to rise, although it has been weak over the last couple weeks after reaching close to 97 on the dollar index. We hear about Trump wanting a lower dollar, but then we also see the Fed going through, or at least assumed to go through with at least one more rate hike next week and maybe one in December, but whether it's December or January, I don't think it makes a big difference. What do you think about that whole U.S. dollar environment that we are in right now where the dollar's been up in 2018, but in 2017 it was almost straight down?
Yeah, I mean, the dollar did peak a couple of years ago, and it's still, you know, it's only retraced 50% of those losses. The rally this year has been interesting to watch. I think it's, you know, a function of overseas investors, you know, looking for the positive yield here, but I think it's also this repatriation of corporate cash. I think we saw huge repatriation in the first quarter. Second quarter is about half what it was in the first quarter in terms of repatriation, but, the dynamic there that I think the most interesting takeaway, I guess, from seeing this rising dollar is that I think it's kept a lid on headline inflation. I've been looking for this. I see signs of inflation everywhere. And I think this rising dollar has been one of those factors that has kept headline inflation from really, you know, reflecting what's really going on in the economy.
Yeah, just to your point, Jesse, we really don't get the true idea of what inflation is running by just those government statistics. It's unfortunate, but that's what we seem to be pounded over the head with over and over again are the CPI, PPI, and how the central banks are deeming inflation when, quite frankly, there is a lot more going on in the overall inflation metrics, I think, for individuals especially, but those recent wage numbers were very interesting to see where wage inflation might finally be picking up due to that tight labor market. We're going to wrap it up here for this first segment, but Jesse, I am going to have you back on next segment. We're going to continue talking about inflation, also the U.S. dollar, and also importantly, the precious metals, where you think the sweet spot is, and some companies that you are slowly dabbling in. You've shared those with us before, but I look forward to revisiting some of these concepts in the next segment. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Long-distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO33 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO33 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO33 to 350350.
All right, welcome back. I am continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. And Jesse, what I want to get into is some of these other factors that you are pointing to where you see them driving inflation higher. If I don't disagree with you, I think we are on the cusp of potentially inflation really getting out of hand to the upside. But right now, even the most recent CPI and PPI numbers, they were a little bit of a pullback in terms of inflation data, but it's still running at a generally higher level. What else are you watching on that inflation front?
Well, I think the thing to look at is wages. And you look at the employment cost index, it's the highest in since that index was created in, 15 years or something. You look at wages around the world. Japanese wages in Japan are now growing the fastest in decades. Wages in the Eurozone are also now rising rapidly. And wages here, I mean, I'm seeing, advertisements for $18 an hour for washing dishes here in the United States. It's 3.8, 3.9% unemployment, whatever. And companies, have been talking about this for several quarters now, that they're having to raise wages just to find any type of labor at all. That is going to eventually, work its way through into the headline inflation numbers. I think, CPI, PPI are, especially CPI, is almost, worthless in terms of it's so hedonically adjusted and so lagging and essentially just reflects what, oil prices are doing. To me, inflation is present in so many other areas. But like I said, the rise in the dollar has been, kept a lid on it, appearing in the headline numbers. But also what's interesting is this, the tax package last year created a situation for pension funds to, buy treasuries in a tax-advantaged way until this week. And so there's been a huge kind of artificial demand for treasuries that's kept interest rates low and has also essentially prevented the markets from reflecting reflecting these inflation dynamics. So nobody's really paying much attention to inflation for those two things, the rising dollar and the, you know, subdued interest rates as a as a function of this increased temporary demand for treasuries.
Yeah, very true. And it's something that I think even you and I have talked about, is that the inflation that individuals are seeing is very prevalent and has been prevalent for a while now. It's just that data that we keep on getting hit over the head with kind of gives your head a shake when you're like, that's not at all what we're seeing in terms of the individual. And just to echo your comment on that tight labor market, even in Vancouver where I am, you can walk down the street and almost every storefront, not quite almost everyone, but close to, they all have help wanted signs out there. So Canada's even experiencing the same almost labor shortage. But again, to that treasury market and some of those tax advantages, we're seeing the long end and even the short end continue to move higher, with the 10-year just this week also breaking out to highs that we haven't seen in a number of years. Are you seeing yields just going to continue to rise in the face of now that tax break that was available to big corporations and institutions that ended last weekend?
Yeah, I think they're going to break out higher. I think that, you know, there's just too many fundamental issues right now. You know, when you look at the political, you know, what's going on in politics here in the United States, to me, it's evident that we're switching from a disinflationary environment to an inflationary environment. You know, I think I've mentioned this to you before. When I spoke with Bill White, former chief economist of the BIS, you know, he brought up an important point to me, is that the central banks can pursue these extreme policies so long as fiscal authorities kind of take a back seat. And now the fiscal authorities, and I'm not talking about just Trump, but the fiscal authorities are now pursuing some very aggressive policies. We saw the tax cut. But Gary Cohn came out this week and said, you know, that Trump is going to soon look to pursue infrastructure spending, probably about $1 trillion worth. That's massively inflationary. And you have a lot of interest in, you know, some, you know, socialist Democrats, but essentially all Democrats here, you know, are talking about during this election process, talking about boosting wages. And if wage growth is already now running at, you know, 3.5-4%, and now the fiscal authorities want to do more to boost that, this is incredibly inflationary. And not to mention the fact that the trade war, which is, you know, it shows no signs of being resolved, the trade wars also represents a reversal of these disinflationary trends that we've seen for 30, 40 years. Globalization was maybe the strongest disinflationary trend that we've seen over this 40-year period. And if this globalization trend is reversing to more mercantilist policies, that's also inflationary. So I see it everywhere. I see it from, you know, through the trade war. It's clearly inflationary, not just through tariffs, but also through, you know, the reversal of globalization. Then you also see it in these political policies. I mean, Trump, I think the far right and the far left are going to be competing with each other to see who is the most friendly to wages. Both, you know, Trump and the Social Democrats want to push wages higher. And so this is really going to put the Fed in a major bind.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And even to your point about the whole political system on tariffs first, it's the corporations that pay those tariffs and then they pass them on to consumers. And that really just ends up raising costs for consumers, and also the ongoing trade war and the deficit in the U.S. It's almost as though the U.S. needs higher inflation, though, to cover some of this deficit spending. We look like it might get up to $1 trillion this year. It was expected to do that next year, but it's ahead of the curve, and that's even in a so-called good economic environment. Do you have a comment on how this balance is playing out?
Yeah, you know, I think the most interesting thing that I would note in that regard is that, you know, both sides of the aisle, again, are looking at the amount of the debt as not being problematic. You know, Trump, it came out in the book, Woodward's book that came out, that, you know, when asked about how to deal with, you know, the debt, Trump said, just print money, you know, turn on the printing presses. And so it's very clear he wants to pursue massive, you know, fiscally aggressive policies and just print money to pay for them. But you're seeing the same sentiments on the other side of the aisle, on the far left. People are saying we can boost wages, we can do all this stuff. The size of the debt doesn't matter. And so I think this is a change in political sentiment from relative austerity, right? We didn't see real austerity, but we saw relative austerity to, you know what? It doesn't matter. We can be as aggressive as we want, and let's boost up, let's rectify this wealth inequality by getting aggressive on the fiscal side. And it's a very, very dangerous game. But I think the only thing that it points to is rising inflation, and the Fed's going to have to be super vigilant, you know, and I just don't know if they have the will to do that.
All right, Jesse, let's wrap it up with a couple of quick comments on the metals sector and even more specifically on the gold sector. Again, gold's been under pressure. A lot of that has been attributed to a stronger dollar, but quite frankly, doesn't seem like a whole lot of investors are paying any attention to the gold market, even when we've seen some levels in the COT reports that would have contrary investors thinking that it should be going through more of a rebound that we've seen recently. Give us a little synopsis on your take right now on the gold market and that rough summer we just went through.
Yeah, you know, we've seen, what is it, 10, 12% correction or something like that in the gold price, which I certainly wasn't expecting. I think I've mentioned to you, Corey, before that I see this as a gift right now. I mean, with this fundamental backdrop for gold of the rising deficit, rising fiscal deficit, and rising inflationary pressure, I can't imagine a better fundamental backdrop for owning gold. And, you know, the other thing I think about is we've seen all of these rolling bubbles, you know, through the markets over the past few years. And I think, you know, whether it's, you know, cryptocurrencies or the FANG stocks or, you know, marijuana stocks lately, I think, you know, a lot of these things take attention away from gold and make gold look boring in relation, and nobody has any interest in it. But I really do believe that as these fundamental pressures continue to work in gold's favor, we could see a time where these rolling bubbles finally turn their attention to gold, and investors really embrace gold and the gold mining stocks the way that they're embracing, you know, cannabis stocks today.
All right. Hey, Jesse, great chatting with you. And I think some of those comments on those bang stocks, if they can actually start moving, I think that also brings in some of the more generalist investors, some of the bigger funds that, quite frankly, again, have just not cared about the sector. And, well, so far they've unfortunately been right because of some of those movements in those bigger stocks. But looking at some of the fundamentals behind them, there is a lot of room to run to that upside. But, Jesse, great having you on the show. Again, go check out Jesse's site at Felder Report. I will also have a link posted below. I hope everybody enjoyed the first hour of the weekend edition. Please always stay in touch with me. Email me at fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you, and I hope you all have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Do you have any of these symptoms? Night cramps in the hands and feet. Your arms and legs often go to sleep. On short walks, do your legs get aches and pains? Is your memory worse than it used to be? Ankles that swell late in the day? Has your blood pressure increased lately? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have early warning signs of arterial blockages. Your body is saying that it is time to take Extendivite. These are not the normal signs of aging. They are the warning signs that accompany blocked arteries. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs, while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise@gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.